Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form what Paul calls in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, one new man. And this makes, according to Paul, a full dwelling place of God by his Spirit. And I can tell you that there is such openness among Jewish people. We're definitely in the last of the last days. We're definitely at the fullness of the Gentile age. And I recently interviewed a friend of mine, and he was talking about that term, fullness of the Gentile age. And he said that's when the Gentile Christians are understanding the revelation of God's word and doing what God told them to do. For instance, Romans 11:11 says salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy. So I have a lot of Gentile Christian friends that say to me, oh, Sid, only a Jewish person can reach Jewish people. No, actually, technically, the Jew is called to reach the Gentile, and the Gentile is called to reach the Jew. I have on the telephone someone that I've admired from afar for many, many years. His name is Peter Gammons. Peter, when I was with you a number of years ago, you told me something that was so outrageous that you, when you go to the Philippines, well, how many people can hear you at an evangelistic meeting?
The largest crowd we ever had was 4 million in a single service.
How can 4 million hear you? There's no speaker big enough.
No. Well, we faced that many years ago. We have a radio tower at the side of the stage, and we broadcast live by radio, and everybody brings their radio to the services. We even broadcast live by television as well. Many people bring little portable battery television sets, and they sit around or stand around in little family groups, and people will join in and listen if they don't have their own radio or their own television. And it stretches for somewhere between 4 and 6 miles. Now,
You're telling me there's a sea of humanity of 4 to 6 miles of people at your campaigns?
Every single area. We even blocked the freeway. One year, the president had to leave his limousine and walk over half a mile because the crowd had gone and blocked the whole freeway. Usually, the whole city is blocked to traffic many hours beforehand because the traffic can't get through because there's so many buses, loads of people coming down.
Okay, this begs the question. Why are all of these people coming out to hear you?
Well, there's a number of answers to that question. I think the most important one is that the Holy Spirit is moving, and where there's a hunger for God, great things are happening.
Yeah, but 4 million people, the Holy Spirit must be really moving in an outstanding fashion.
Well, it started with a friend of mine called Brother Mike Velarde, who was a real estate man, and he bought some land, and he started... the land he bought had a radio station, and he'd recently met with Christ, so he started preaching the gospel. And his wife got very angry because she said, "You're a businessman, you're not a preacher. Stop being a preacher and be a businessman." And he kept preaching, and actually for 5 years she wouldn't even have dinner with him. She was so angry with him that he was preaching, and although that wasn't publicly known until many years later. And one day he said, "I can't fight my wife forever." He said, so he went on air and he said, "I'm not going to be broadcasting anymore. But if anybody's listening," because he didn't even know if anyone was listening to me, he said, "If anybody's listening to me, come to the TV station Saturday morning, we'll have a service, and I'm going to decide then whether to carry on these broadcasts or not." Well, 10,000 people turned up, and that was the start of a move of the Holy Spirit that I'm privileged to be a part of. God has used me very much in a prophetic ministry, not one-on-one prophecy to people, you know, the Lord's going to bless you or whatever, but prophesying to politicians and world leaders and prophesying to key servants of the Lord at a particular point in their life. And we came across each other's path. What had happened was he had a team of 400 staff, and one night the Lord spoke to me, and he even gave me the names of members of staff that were about to try and split the whole movement. People were jealous of how it was growing and decided that they were going to try and grab their own section of it. And I went to him and I said, you're either going to say I'm crazy or you're going to say this is God, because these are the names the Lord gave me that are causing problems and trying to split your organization. When he looked at the names, he said, this is God. And he called a meeting of it. He said, can you address my staff? I said, when? He said, how about now? He called together all 400 of his staff, and over 200 of them came to him and repented, and he discovered all kinds of splits are about to take place. And through that, we became best friends, and he introduced me to the ministry, and it's grown since that time. I think it was the 26th anniversary this summer. And so two or three, usually three times a year, I'm in Manila, and we have anywhere between 1 and up to 4 million people gather at those services. Plus, of course, there's another 20 million watching live by television, according to the TV stations.
All right. Now, there's another thing that is, I have to tell you, Peter, it's outrageous. If I didn't know you personally, I would have difficulty with this. But often, you'll line up as many as 50 deaf mutes, and everyone gets healed?
Yeah. I asked the Lord for a notable sign that could not be disputed. And I would tell the people, if they're not healed, you don't have to believe what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that God confirmed the word with signs following. God's miracles are God's amen to the message that's preached. And especially in evangelistic ministry, maybe we'll come back to this point, but let me just throw it out there. Evangelism without miracles will only reach semi-religious people. If we're going to reach religious people or non-religious people, atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, the only way it will happen is by the miracle power of God, because you hold up your black book and they hold up their black book. You talk about your God, they talk about their God. You talk about your religion, they talk about their religion. It's got to be, in the words of Elijah, let the true God answer by fire.
Now, just out of curiosity, when you make such a statement, aren't you a little nervous in front of so many people that if these people aren't healed, I'm a false minister? I mean,
I cannot honestly say to you that there have not been times where I thought, well, here goes. If it doesn't happen, I got a problem. But God is faithful, and he's never let me down. I guess the boldness of faith. But I know that there's an anointing in that area. When I stand up, I know that I'm dealing with spirits, demonic forces that have to submit to me in the name of Jesus, because I come with God's divine commission, and it's in the name of Jesus. I tell people, some people say, oh, you claim to heal the sick. I don't claim to do anything. I'm just the servant of God. I claim that Jesus heals the sick. And to be honest, I tell people, I don't claim that these people are healed. They claim that they're healed. They're the ones who come to the platform and say, I've been healed, I can hear. And I'll be with you on your TV program. You'll probably be able to tell us when that is. But we'll have some video footage where people will see people instantly healed by the power of God. That is.
All right, I have to ask you about one particular person. This man had his eardrum burned out. He had nothing inside to be able to hear. Tell me about him.
Well, I always stick my fingers in their ears and command their ears to open. It's what Jesus did. And basically, if you want Jesus-type miracles, you've got to copy Jesus. What he did worked, so why do it any other way? So I put my fingers in his ears, and I'm going down the line, putting my fingers in his ear, and I come to this man, I put my finger in his ear, and my finger just disappeared inside his head. It was disgusting. And I said to him, what has happened to you? And he said, I'm a mechanic. I was working underneath a vehicle, and molten metal, red-hot molten metal, fell into my ear and burnt everything out. So then I explained to the people, I said, he doesn't need a healing, he needs a miracle. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. Healing is a repairing something that's there, but he don't have something there. God has to recreate something that's no longer there, and that's called a miracle. And so I prayed that God would work a miracle and recreate what was missing. And as I praying this, my finger's still in his ear, and it feels like there's little mice running around my finger. And my finger suddenly starts getting pushed out of his head until when I put my finger back again, I can feel a normal eardrum there. When I spoke, he could hear perfectly, and he repeated everything I said, and the crowd, of course, went wild. And you know, in the natural, it's impossible to hear when your eardrum has been removed.
Now the secular media came after you as a fraud, but instead, what did they report?
Yeah, well, what happened was I was invited by Pastor Sebastian from Cuiabá, Brazil, to open the world's largest church building. He'd just finished building it. It had taken 11 years to build, and he'd built it debt-free. And he asked me to come and open the church and to do some miracle meetings to launch this new church building. I think it's 60,000 seats. Beautiful, incredible. As I said, he built it debt-free over 11 years. When he had money, he built. When he didn't, he stopped building. And so the church, I didn't ask him to do that. They put up pictures, my pictures all over the city with the banners that said, "The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear." And the newspapers came to him and said, "We're going to be in every service because we want to prove that you're a fraud, and we're going to say that this church is a fraud and close it down." Well, Pastor Sebastian was very concerned because here he is.
You know what? Our time is slipping away, but they literally printed that these are honest, sincere miracles. And we
saw it with our own eyes.
Now, Peter, you have spent 35 years walking with God. People don't have the time to accumulate the knowledge that you have. And your 12 booklets called Power in Your Pocket, it covers the revelations you have on blessings, on healing, on finances, on the suddenlies of God. And I can picture people taking one booklet every day and having it in their pocket, and when they have a few minutes, just tasting the revelation one after another after another. We're making these 12 booklets called Power in Your Pocket available for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.